Today on Real Radio.
The rapture is in relation to the believers. The second coming is in relation to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Big difference. It's the last 7-year period of Daniel's great prophecy regarding Israel and the Jewish people.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a multi-part series called You Need to Know all about the future things. Among the key events of end times is the rapture. You've probably heard that word before. The removal of God's people from the earth at a certain time in history. That's what our teacher addresses in this lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
At the time of the rapture, the earth is not judged. Well, that's interesting because we know that when Christ comes back, the earth is going to be judged. In fact, he's going to judge the earth with his word of his mouth, isn't it? The Bible tells us he's going to sit upon the throne of David, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah. And in Matthew chapter 25, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of his father David and judge the earth. That doesn't happen at the rapture. Interesting. The earth's not judged at the rapture, but it is judged at his second coming. Think of that. In fact, the book of Daniel tells you exactly how long it's going to take him. Did you know that? That's your homework. I'll give you a hint. It's in chapter 12 of Daniel 12. It'll tell you right there how many days it takes Jesus Christ to judge the nations of the earth sitting on his throne in Jerusalem. Wow. Next, the rapture is signless, imminent, momentary. Any moment now. Amen. Imminent. The rapture is imminent. No warnings, no signs, no prophetic precursors necessary for the rapture to happen. Isn't that exciting? Oh, man. Well, what does the Bible say about the second coming? Must follow predictive prophecies, many of them. For example, the Antichrist has got to come onto the world saying, look, if you're looking for the Antichrist first, what a sad life you're living. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm not waiting for the Antichrist to show his ugly face. I'm waiting for Jesus to show his glorious face in the heavens. Listen, anybody who teaches that you need to be looking for the Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ, that's weird. Nowhere is that taught in the Bible. Jesus says, look for me, watch for me. You don't know when I'm coming. Watch out, be ready. Don't get caught up in the things of the world. Be looking. You don't know when. Isn't that neat? So simple. Next, the rapture. It's not taught in the Old Testament. That's an interesting argument. From silence. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned. There's a hint in Isaiah 26, verses 19 to 21. You can write that down next to your margins, but put a question mark there. There's a hint about it. But for all intent and purposes, it's not mentioned in the Old Testament. You say, why isn't it mentioned in the Old Testament? It didn't have to be mentioned in the Old Testament. By the way, this is kind of fun. It wasn't mentioned as a future event in the Old Testament, but were there raptures in the Old Testament of certain particular people? Ooh, isn't that fun? I challenge you to go look right down in your margins. Are you guys having fun with this? I hope you're having fun with this. I love this kind of stuff. If this flops today, then I'll quit and go be a teacher at a school somewhere because I don't know. I love this kind of stuff. Here's the deal. Enoch, remember Enoch? Enoch was walking with God, and the Bible says all of a sudden Enoch was no longer because God took him, and he went into heaven without dying. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah. There's Elijah and Elijah. Elijah was a friend of Elijah. Elijah says, can I have your ministry when God takes you? And he says, look, that's not for me to decide. That's for God to decide. But if you're hanging out with me when it happens, then that's God's business. So Elijah, which is fun. It's read it. Read 1 and 2 Kings. It's awesome. I'm getting off the point, but it's fun stuff. Elijah was a stud. I think you think most people who work for God are kind of wimpy little frail people like me. Elijah was a stud. The Bible tells us that Elijah would get up and he would run. He'd run to Bethel. He'd run to Jericho. He'd run. Can you imagine? Elijah. There goes Elijah. And you mark those locations, by the way, in your Bible. The guy, it says that he ran from this place to that place in a day. The dude ran. He just ran. He's running. And Elijah, he wants the ministry of Elijah. So he's like this, wait for me, wait for me. He's running. He's trying to keep up. And while he's looking one day, the chariot of fire begins to appear in the atmosphere. And the angel of the Lord appears, and Elijah is caught up from the earth and is received up into glory. Sound familiar? Think of it. Not mentioned in the Old Testament for a big reason. It wasn't going to happen in the Old Testament. It was going to happen in the New Testament era. So it's not mentioned in the Old, but it's throughout. Listen, the second coming is throughout the Old Testament. In fact, did you know the second coming teaching is extensively more prominent in the Old Testament than it even is in the New Testament? And the New Testament speaks about the second coming. But the Old Testament doesn't mention about the rapture. It's only found in the New. Keep that in mind. The rapture affects only the believers. Only the believers. The second coming says it affects all unbelievers. That's cool. I like that. Next slide. The rapture, it happens before the day of wrath, clearly revealed in the Bible. Second coming concludes the day of God's wrath. This is a very significant argument. Without warning, imminently, the rapture takes place, and then 2 Thessalonians 2 says that wicked one shall be revealed. Then the seven-year peace treaty with Israel, Daniel chapters 9, verses 24 to 26, are revealed to us. Then, watch this, it happens before the time or the day of God's wrath. The Bible tells us that the 7 years in the book of Jeremiah is the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of God's wrath upon earth. But listen, the second coming concludes the day of God's wrath. Jesus Christ comes back and puts an end to the 7-year tribulation period. Isn't that interesting? Next, atmospheric appearance only. The rapture is an atmospheric appearing of Jesus. Jesus says himself in John 14, and Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, that he will meet us in the air to take us to himself. That where he has been, there we will be also. Not here, but there. Okay? Notice this. The second coming is a universal terrestrial arrival. That Jesus Christ, every eye sees him all around the world. Everybody sees him in his second coming. And he returns to earth physically in Israel, in Jerusalem. Big difference. Rapture versus the physical second coming of Christ. The rapture, at the time of the rapture, there's no reference to Satan at all. The second coming, hallelujah, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Good news. Next, regarding the rapture, as we look at the comparison, Jesus comes for his bride, the church. In the Bible, the church is called the bride of Christ. Jesus comes to pick her up. I find that interesting, by the way. We're not making this up, my friends. The Bible calls the church his bride. Does any groom put his wife through a beating up process and let Satan clean her clock? I find that interesting. No. Jesus comes for his bride. Watch this. The second coming, the Bible tells us again, Revelation 19, Jesus comes, what? With his bride. I hope some lights are being turned on in your hearts and minds right now. The rapture, only believers see him. Isn't that interesting? Only believers see him. But Pastor Jack, I thought it says that there's going to be the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. That is going to happen. But I find it interesting, by the way, that when Jesus Christ appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road, Paul saw and heard the Lord, but those that are around him only saw some form of an atmospheric disturbance. They didn't understand what was going on. Isn't that kind of cool? I'm not equating the two events together. I'm just saying that only Paul heard and saw Jesus. The unbelievers around him did not. The beautiful thing about this is Bible is clear that those who are watching and waiting for him, those who are watching and waiting for him, I believe that it is incumbent upon the believer, and I believe that it's part of the Christian's nature to be longing and wanting and waiting and watching for Jesus. The second coming is completely different than that. Every eye shall see him, the Bible says, every eye. Next, the tribulation period begins at the rapture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The rapture, at some point in time, the tribulation period begins after the rapture. Could be a minute, could be an hour, could be years, could be months. It doesn't say. But the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that the Holy Spirit will move aside, step aside out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. And we'll see how significant that is because Jesus promises to keep us from that hour, that epoch of time to come upon the earth. So the tribulation begins. At the second coming, the tribulation period ends. The rapture of the church, as we look at this comparison, no judgment of the nations at the time of the rapture. And yet the second coming is all about the judgment of the nations, Matthew chapter 25. Next, the rapture. There's no reference to the millennium at the time of the rapture. The millennium is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, physical reign of Christ on earth. The second coming actually ushers in the millennial reign of Christ. He returns, touches his foot on the Mount of Olives, the Bible says, it splits open. He enters in through the eastern gate, the golden gate, sets up his throne in Jerusalem, and the Bible says he rules and reigns for 1,000 years, a millennium. That's the comparison. By the way, you can make your own comparison chart. I figured that this was enough for this morning to show you there's a great difference in these events. Oh, by the way, let me add this one. It's not on your list. I'd put it right now on there. The rapture is regarding Christians that have been redeemed. Watch this. Listen carefully. Christians. It's regarding Christians. It applies to Christians. See, what's a Christian? Good question. Christian is Christ follower. In the last 2,000 years, anyone who's a Christ follower, Jew or Gentile, is a Christian or a believer. They don't say Christians in Israel. The believers in Israel are called believers. Like us, we call each other Christians. The more accurate term is a believer. Okay? We should call each other worldwide believers. The rapture is in relation to the believers. The second coming is in relation to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Big difference. It's the last 7-year period of Daniel's great prophecy regarding Israel and the Jewish people. Very crystal clear. Next slide. The rapture event. The biblical support for the rapture event. Don't write this down. We'll never get out of here. But you can't complain that I didn't give you enough homework. Maybe you're a skeptic today and you go, oh man, you just gave us a couple verses. Well, here's a whole bundle. John 14. Well, I'm not going to even read it myself. I'm tired. I'm just looking at it. There's enough. Look at those. All these scriptures here without, listen everybody, it makes me very happy to announce this. You can argue all you want with these scriptures about what you think about them. And when you're all done, surrender. When you're all done, give up. Let hope fill your heart. Joy be on the lips and on the tongue of your mouth over the fact that the Bible teaches without a doubt that Christ is coming imminently at any moment. It is a wonderful event. It's for his people. Be watching. And it's anytime now. And it's a very purifying doctrine of the Bible. You can get all excited about it because those are just a few verses that argue that Jesus could come back today at any second as it relates to the rapture. Okay, keep that in mind. Next slide. These are the physical return of Christ or the second coming scriptures. A whole string. And by the way, this is one quarter. This is 25% of the verses that I could have given you 100% of. These are just those, all dealing with the physical second coming of Christ to earth to set up his kingdom, coming with his saints, the church. Absolutely awesome. Exciting stuff. It's a two-staged event. Next, here we go, pressing on into the next description of the first phase, the rapture of the church. Remember, we talked about this, is that the earthly prophecies of the church will be completed. Mark that down. The earthly prophecies of the church come to a conclusion at the moment of the rapture. No more earthly prophecies regarding the church at that moment. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, "But of that day and of that hour, no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered into the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." The earthly prophecies of the church end at the rapture. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, mark it down. Luke 21, 34. And as you're marking it down, I want to lay this out before you. Are you, listen, it's a trick question. Are you worthy to meet Jesus Christ? Listen, don't answer. Are you worthy to meet Jesus Christ? Are you worthy? Mark that down. Am I worthy to meet Jesus Christ? And this is a trick question. Luke 21, 34. Jesus said, "Be careful, because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life." Look, I don't have to struggle much with dissipation, and I don't struggle with drunkenness. But I struggle with the anxieties of life. Do you? The rest of you are a bunch of liars. We all struggle with the anxieties of life. Jesus says, watch out. And that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. They won't be alert. They won't be waiting. Verse 36, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen." Hello? Not persecution. The wrath of God. We could be persecuted to death today. You understand that? That's tough. That's the way it is. That's life. Oh, but the wrath of God. "Be always on the watch and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." The whole idea, in fact, the old King James Version Bible, I believe it is, that you may be found worthy to escape. What's the word worthy mean? Here it is. The answer to the question a moment ago is, are you worthy? The answer is yes, you are, if you're a Christian. Because it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with you simply putting your faith in Christ, who has declared you worthy. How are you going to escape the wrath of Almighty God in that tribulation period? It's because Jesus Christ has made you worthy by his blood, not by your own efforts or your self-righteousness, but by you surrendering your life to Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sins, to be born again, Jesus said, and having him save your life. I've told you guys this before, but it's a beautiful story, and you're probably bored with it, but maybe you've not heard of this. From this church, from the pulpit of this church, some years ago now, my goodness, it's been 15 years ago, Dr. John Wolver was here from Dallas Theological Seminary. And Dr. Wolver gave us an analogy that I've never forgotten. And forgive me again for sharing it just recently, because I have to say it again. Wolverd is the one who told us here in this church that Jesus Christ has promised to come back and take us to himself to deliver us from the wrath to come. That seven-year tribulation period, the judgment of God on earth. And he said, imagine all of that scenario being packaged up and put in a big yellow school bus. Do you remember the story? And that big yellow school bus had written across the two red flashing lights over the middle, instead of school district on it, it says the Great Tribulation or the Tribulation Period. And behind the wheel is Satan driving. And all these events are inside the bus. And you're looking down a long, straight highway that just goes into infinity, as it were, as you're looking down that road. And Jesus says, now you stand here and you look down that road. And you watch for the signs of the age. Know this. Before they come to you, John Walvoord taught us, I will come in a little red sports car, Jesus said, and I'll pick you up in my car and I'll drive away with you. As we stand on the road of history and we look with all the Bible warnings and all of the Bible indicators, we look at certain key events which we will study in the weeks ahead. We look down that road, and number one, we know this, there's a road, there's nothing on it. And then all of a sudden, in the far, far distant, we see a yellow dot on the highway, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's so close that now you begin to see there's two red dots over the top of that bus. That's a bus. It is a bus. He said there would be a bus. There's a bus coming. And as you look, as you see between the red lights, it says the tribulation period. And you can look and you see you can look in the windows and you can see from a great distance that there's things of a global economy, a godless universal world church, natural disasters increasing in intensity. As we looked at last week, ethnic issues and famines and incurable diseases. And you're looking at the bus, and now you're starting to think, church, listen, you're starting to think, whoa, wait a minute. I'm starting to make out things that I was warned about. And as you look closer, there's a guy driving the bus with horns on his head. And you look at the license plate number, and it says, California 666. That's not a stretch for your imagination. And now you're able to make out all of these things. What do you know? Listen, what do you know, Christian? If you listen to the words of Jesus, what do you know for sure? He's coming soon. If I can make that out, then you know what I know? I know this. There'll be a little red sports car coming to pick me up any moment now. Any day now. Any day now. Any time now. Why? Because Jesus said so. The Bible says so. All of these events are starting to be made out on the world scene. What do I know? I can see a big yellow bus coming and Satan's driving it. What do I know? Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe in me also. He said, you know what? Just be ready. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready to meet him?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. It's one in a multi-part series that focuses on what God's written word has to say about eschatology, and in this case, a special emphasis on the rapture of the church. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies. It's called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now and then here on Real Radio, we let you know about our Real Radio Book of the Month. Each one is carefully and prayerfully hand-selected by Pastor Jack himself. And the current Book of the Month, The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The Cost of Discipleship is a classic that addresses just what the title implies, but it's also a commonly quoted book on Bonhoeffer's treatments of cheap grace versus costly grace. And if you know the story of his life, you know what it cost him. Once you read The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you'll know why many say that every believer should have this classic in his library. You can purchase your own copy of The Cost of Discipleship at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, should you need it, it's 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.